Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Agyanatimirandhasya Gyananjanashalakaya Chakshun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha.
Nama Shrishtam Manamapi Shaktiputramatra Sarupam Rupam Tasya Gajamura Kurimatra Goshtavatim Radha Kundam Girivaramaho Radhika Madhava Prapto yasya pratita kripaya shri gurum tam natosmi. Vandeham shri guru shri atath parakamalam shri gurun vaishnavamscha shri rupam sagrajatam sagarna raghunatan vitam tam sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shishakan Vitamscha Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Vishnu Sahasranam, name 565, is Nandi or Anandi, depending on how you read the verse, on how you split the sandhi. That might seem strange if someone says, what is your name? It's Ramesh or Radesh. Not quite sure. So here it's written, Nandi or Anandi, which means that this name can be taken as either, but we can say it's Nandi and Anandi. Yeah. So the various meanings of this. If we ask Krishna what is his name, you say, well, if he's going to tell all of them, then take a very long time. I mean, even to recite the thousand names of Vishnu takes, at a moderate speed, say 20 minutes to half an hour. Not to speak of explaining them all. So, Nandi or Anandi? He who has Nanda Maharaj as his father. That's the same meaning which Baladev Vidyabhushan gives, who is Nanda's dear son. One name for son is Nandana, which means, literally means who gives pleasure. All this Ananda, Nanda means pleasure, Ananda means more happiness, actually happiness. When we say pleasure, at least in English, the term pleasure is more of a sensual experience. Whereas happiness is actually something much deeper. So has Nanda as his father. Parashara Bhatta interprets this as specifically referring to Balaram. Exactly why, he doesn't say. Maybe because we just had this Sankarshan came up in the previous verse. And others interpret it as being Krishna. Kunti Devi, she is known as the aunt of Krishna. Why? Because her brother is Vasudev. But she praise to Krishna. Krishnaya Vasudevaya, Devaki Nandanaya cha Nanda Gopakumaraya, Govindaya Namo Namaha. So she recognizes that Krishna is Vasudev, the son of Vasudev, and Devaki Nandan, the son of Devaki, but she also says Nanda Gopa Kumara. He's also known as the son of Nanda Gopa. And also known as Govinda, and she offers respects to him. So it's well known that he's the son of Vasudeva. It's also well known that he's the son of Nanda Maharaj. So it's quite correct to say both. And there's nothing wrong with saying that Balaram is the son of Nanda Maharaj, but generally that refers to Krishna. Parashara Bhatta, so the name Nandi, he takes that to be Balaram, and Anandi, he also says this refers to Balaram and everyone around him who he made happy in Ayapari. That's Tamil for Vrindavan. So this, I think, is not done by a Telugu. It must be by a Tamil, because no Telugu person would know that. How do I know it? I looked it up on the internet. There you go. It's Matasmritir Gyanam Apohanam Cha. From the internet comes knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness of everything that you should really be knowing. Oh, you can also look up about Krishna on the internet. So these are various meanings given. Who is Nanda as his father, which is remarkable if we consider who Krishna is, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I was just reading yesterday, I'm going through a translation of the Harivamsa Purana, which is considered an extension of Mahabharata. It has many of Krishna's pastimes. So after Krishna had lifted the Govardhan Hill, it's the same as Bhagavatam, but shorter. But after Krishna lifts the Govardhan Hill, you'll find in the Bhagavatam how all the cowherd men come together and they say, who is this Krishna? He does so many wonderful things. And in the Harivamsa, it states that they said to Krishna directly that, what are you doing among us? It's not befitting you, who are obviously such a great personality, to be with us. We're just cowherd people. It's something, it doesn't fit. Just like it might be considered that brahmanas, they may look down at shudras, and a shudra who tries to come up. And a shudra also, among the shudras, they also don't want, what are you doing going if he tries to be a brahmana? Come on, this is your own level. Just like I saw something recently, where was it? Maybe on the internet, or maybe someone told me. In England there's a community of miners, coal miners, which means very shudra kind of occupation, although they don't have that kind of term. They call working class. Then one of the son of them means generation after generation, they're coal miners. And then one of them became a teacher, and then the other people said, what are you doing? What are you doing trying to be a teacher, trying to go up? You belong down here with us. So what's this got to do with Krishna? It's remarkable that Krishna is a cowherd. I mean, even the Supreme Lord appears. He appears in his human-like forms as Vamana, Brahmana, and Ramachandra, Kshatriya, king. Well, Vasudeva is also Kshatriya, but not much of a Kshatriya if you take it by Kshatriya standards, because he was locked up by Kamsa. So he wasn't so powerful. And Nanda Maharaja is a coward man, you know, can wander in the fields and take out the cows. It's not socially very high class. I remember once in Baroda, this is years ago, one devotee, I was getting on his case, why are you always coming to the temple in pants? Why don't you wear a dhoti? And then I heard he said to someone, I don't want to be one of those cow herding people, that caste. So he's looking down on that. Well, that's our ultimate aim, is to enter the cowherd village of Vrindavan. So it is remarkable that he has Nanda. We take it for granted because we hear it so many times, but it's actually astonishing that Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, with all opulences, is by his own choice a cowherd boy. Then, the very name Nanda means pleasure. And Nandi means, if you take that as the son, so he's born of pleasure. In the Vichu Upanishad, Chandogya, everything is produced from pleasure. Yatova imani bhutani jayant. That's Taittiriya. Everything emanates from Brahman, everything rests in Brahman, everything absorbs back into Brahman. Then again, the same said is everything comes from Ananda, everything rests in Ananda. So they're names for Krishna. But Ananda is ultimately the principle of existence. Once some philosophers, so-called philosophers, met with Srila Prabhupada and they asked him the question, why does anything exist? Sounds like the kind of question philosophers would ask. Prabhupada rejected the question. He said, that's not a good question. He said, the real question is, what is the source of everything? Atato brahma jignasa janmadhyasya yataha yato vahimani bhutani jayanti tad brahma tad brahmeti tad vijikasasva. That is when Prabhupada said that this is the proper question to ask, he was simply quoting the Upanishad. And then atato brahma jignasa. Now we should inquire about Brahman, not why does it exist, but how is it existing? It's existing that we can see. Well, that's the ultimate answer, is Ananda. Why does anything go on? Every living being, not only humans, but demigods and demons and worms and ants and bugs, all the species of life, including the plants, everything they do at every moment, consciously or unconsciously, directly or indirectly, is aimed at their attaining happiness, which includes avoiding distress. So Ananda is the ultimate principle of existence, and Krishna is by his very nature blissful, which is good news. It's so nice to have a happy God. The God I was raised with was not a nasty guy who throws everyone into hell unless you believe what they teach you in the school. And the people who teach you in the school are pretty nasty also, so what do you want to be like that for? Not a happy God. Srila Prabhupada several times gave the example of a German scholar, I believe he was referring to one of his godbrothers, who came to India to look for God. Maybe not nowadays so much, but say in the first half of the 20th century, there was a strong feeling in the Western countries that if you want to know God, you have to come to India. If you're really serious to understand God. I mean, that's not the fanatical Christian. Actually, there weren't so many fanatics. There are more fanatical Christians now than there were then. Fanatical Christianity is a fairly... Or evangelical Christianity of the... Anyway, of the present... Its present incarnation is fairly recent. Anyway, he came to India and he was going to all the different temples. I guess some of the temples let him in. And he saw different gods and they're doing things. Durga is, she has so many weapons in her hands. 10 hands, everyone has a weapon. And killing the Mahishasura. Then he saw Indra has to rule over all the kingdom of heaven, has to give the rain. Varuna has to, he's managing the water department, and so on. There are different gods. Then he saw Radha and Krishna simply dancing. He said, this must be God. All the others, they have work to do, and he's just enjoying. Must be God. He's nothing else to do, simply to enjoy himself. He's naturally happy. That's his very nature. Naturally happy. You may say, well, he's happy because he has all these 6 opulences, all wealth, all strength, all fame, all knowledge, all beauty, all renunciation. Yes. Someone who has these qualities, they should be happy. People want these qualities. But in material existence, if one has these qualities, they don't actually make him happy. People work so hard with the idea, I will become rich, I will become powerful, I'll become famous. But they never stop to think, will I become happy? They just presume that by getting money, wealth, fame, beauty, then they have to go to a beauty parlor or plastic surgery or something to try to become beautiful. They presume that this will give them happiness. But it doesn't give them happiness. If they just thought about it, then you don't need any of these things to be happy. You can be perfectly happy without any of them. Of course, everyone has to some extent, some wealth, some beauty. But in and of themselves, they don't make one happy. That's the difference I was saying between pleasure and happiness. Happiness is much deeper. So Bhagavan has all of these things, all these attributes, and they make him happy, but not in the way of a materialist who, when he has some wealth or fame, he becomes proud or uses that to dominate over others. He feels some pleasure from considering himself superior, but it doesn't actually give happiness to his heart. What gives happiness is to the heart is Savaipum Sampuro Dharmo Yato Bhaktir Hokshaya Haituge Pratihata Yayatma Suprasidati. Full, selfless, unflinching, unstopping devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That gives happiness to the soul, nothing else. Then how is Krishna going to become happy? Because he's not doing devotion to himself. No, he's by nature happy, and we become happy by associating with him. He's ever blissful by nature. His qualities are there, and it's not exactly that they make him happy. He's innately happy. But he has all these qualities, and then another meaning of his name, he gives bliss to his devotees. He's naturally happy. But he becomes more happy by associating with his devotees. That's another meaning of the name. And another meaning is that he gives happiness to his devotees. So these are all nuances of the name. He's not just happy himself, but he wants to make others happy. And as anyone who knows the secret of happiness, even on the material level, if you want to be happy, then try to make others happy. So if people think, let me be happy, then they might end up doing things for others instead of for themselves. But that goes against the materialistic way of thinking. Materialistic way of thinking is to try to get whatever you can for yourself. So he tries to make others happy, and then he becomes happy. Even materially, if you want to be happy in this world, then giving is more pleasing than getting. So people have this charitable tendency. Of course, many people who are charitable, they do so as a show to so that people will think they're good, and then they get fame from that. That's mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita, that demoniac people, they give charity, but their aim is just to increase their prestige. That's all. And there's charity in the mode of ignorance, which is given without any respect for others. But you just, but you think, oh, these people are very low. I'll help them. But one who genuinely has a desire to try to help others, and dedicates his life, or at least some of his energy for that, then they become happy by seeing others happy. That's there in the material world also, people who... there are so many cases of heroes who give their life for their country. This is all nonsense, actually. This nationalism and patriotism, they send out stupid people to fight who get killed, killing other stupid people from the other country. And meanwhile, the big shots are sitting behind their desks, and they're trading with it. They're making wars to make more money for themselves. Anyway, the idea that I'm giving myself, well, Krishna also likes to give himself to his devotees. He becomes very happy to do so. That's why he's Nanda Gopa Kumara. He can fully give himself. It's not that he gives full wealth, strength, fame, knowledge, beauty, and renunciation to the residents of Vrindavan. He doesn't give that. He gives himself. It's not that he blesses them with all material opulences. They're very opulent materially. But then Nanda Maharaji has to give taxes to Kamsa. Kamsa sends a Krura. You go and call Nanda Maharaj, those residents of Vrindavan. It's time they should bring tax. So for them the tax is butter, ghee, milk, yogurt. That's what they produce. So he's subservient to Kamsa, who's more wealthy than him, inasmuch as Nanda is only one of his many, many taxpayers. So materially, Nanda Maharaj isn't the most wealthy, which means that Krishna doesn't give wealth, strength, knowledge, fame, all those things. But he gives himself, and he wants to give himself. He wants to have that intimate personal relationship, which is not possible to have with people who are aware of your opulences. So he hides his opulences to give himself to others. So Krishna is very happy. And we're all happy to be in Krishna's service. That's the symptom of a devotee. Srila Prabhupada often used to say, a devotee is jolly. He used that word. Quoting, Brahma Bhuta Prasanna Atma. One who's on the spiritual platform is happy. And we are also inherently blissful, like Krishna. Because we are also by nature Satchit Anandamai, as Krishna is. So by hearing about Krishna, we can actually become happy. That Gayanti Srinvanti Tave Hitam Janaha. How does that verse begin? Kunti's prayers? Anyone knows? You know that? Srinvanti Gayanti Grinantya Bhikshnasha. Then I said the second line? Smaranti nandanti tave hitangjanaha ta eva pashyanti, what is it? Ta eva pashyanti achirena tavakam bhava pravaho paramang padambujam. Kunti Devi, you just quoted her, One of her prayers to Krishna. This is another one. So one who, she says to Krishna, Shrinvanti Gayanti Grinanti Abhikshasa, one who constantly hears about you, who accepts you, who Gayanti, who sings about you, who remembers you, and who takes pleasure in all this. Nandanti, the same we have here, Nandi, the name Nandi, Nandanti, who takes pleasure. Such people see you before very long. Ta eva pashanta chirena tava kam bhava pravaho parama. And as a result, they get free from material existence and go to the supreme abode. So let us all be happy in remembering Krishna. Krishna is happy. His devotees are happy. We should also be happy in Krishna. Okay, I'm going to finish there. There's a reason for that. Because I'm leaving one more name for tomorrow. And then Sunday will be a different class. And on Monday is Balaram Purnima. And the name is Halayudha. So I don't want to go ahead too fast. I want to keep that name for Balaram Purnima. So, Hare Krishna. Short class today. Happy class. No throwing into hell today. That's every day in the Christian religion, at least the Christian religion I was brought up in. God's main job is to throw people into hell. Nasty, nasty person. We have a happy God. Okay, any questions? Happiness and pleasure. Yeah, pleasure, that means the interaction of the senses and the sense objects. What is that in Bhagavad Gita? No, I'm thinking of the happiness in the mode of passion. What is that? Indriya samyogam. Vishayendriya samyogam. How's the arm? I'm a little tired. There's some dogs barking last night. How come there are dogs here? Vishayendriya samyogam. Anyway, it's tatsukam raja samsmitam. Vishayendriya samyogam. Yattad agre mitopamam pariname vishameva tatsukam raja samsmitam. That the interaction of the senses with the sense objects, which feels like nectar in the beginning, becomes transformed into poison, and that's called happiness in the mode of passion. Whereas real happiness is that atma supersedity, which I call the deep happiness of the soul, not the temporary flickering happiness. That temporary flickering happiness, that pleasure, because the interaction of the senses with the sense objects gives some pleasure, but it's not pleasure of the soul, that's only at the level of the mind. It's transient, it doesn't last. It's very, very short-lived. In this regard, Srila Prabhupada often gave the example of sexual pleasure. It just very brief, and then finished. The highest pleasure in the material world, generally considered like that. But it leaves one empty afterward. One doesn't feel happy or fulfilled. Unless it's done in a dharmic way, that dharma viruddho bhuteshu kamosmi bharatashava. If it's done simply for pleasure, then one feels empty afterwards. But if it's done for the sake of producing a Krishna conscious child, that one feels fulfilled. Yes, I perform my dharma. And one feels some satisfaction. So, anything else? Hare Krishna. Yeah, this is very suitable, Nanda Gopa Kumar, for Janmashtami, which is also coming up. It's always coming up, 364 days a year, Janmashtami is coming up, because Krishna's pastimes are eternal. But anyway, after Balaram Purnima, it's the next major festival. Hare Krishna.